We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here we go.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions? He's got answers. You've got problems? He's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Live from way out behind the station in the News Radio WRVA Home Improvement Shop, this is the Home Show with me, your humble home improvement guru, Richard McCann. Good morning, everybody. How are you today? I my head is still spinning just a little bit because yesterday, what I love about life in general is I have learned over the years that when I make plans, I make limited plans. I don't put a lot of detail into it, and I don't put a lot of anticipation into it because I know for no reason whatsoever, and I feel like it happens to me more than anybody else, that things can just spin out of control into the atmosphere, and I don't know where it's going, and I just strap in and enjoy the ride. Yesterday, I hope you tuned in to 1140 WRVA because it was nuts. Jordan, how are you, sir?
Excellent.
I really appreciated you coming in yesterday. You stayed up way past your bedtime, I take it?
We both did.
I didn't get to bed until 11, which for a Friday night is nuts.
Yeah.
But it was a good time. It was good radio, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought it went well.
So for those of you who are wondering, what is he talking about? Here's a story, and it's true. As I say all that, yesterday, well, from a personal point of view, I'm going to start there. Yesterday, I did go again to the gym. Us old guys shouldn't be doing it, but we do it. We're trying to get better. And so I go to the gym. I'm with my buddy, who's a lawyer and a liberal. Very much a liberal.
You have friends that are liberal?
Yeah, sure.
How does that make you feel?
Fine, because I'm not particularly any party at all. Sorry, I need some coffee there. And so he and I are discussing the nonsense that is the week in Virginia politics before. Last Saturday, I got here to the station, and Gary Powell says, you know, we got people coming in at 8 o'clock because they're going to talk about what happened with the governor, right? And last week, my response was, what happened with the governor? Because I hadn't seen the news. I went to bed. I didn't watch anything. I didn't follow anything. And I found out that John Reed and a couple other people were here until midnight Friday. And they were coming back Saturday. And I was told at 8 o'clock they're going to come in here and they're going to do a round table. And you may or may not get a chance to do your second show. Frustrating. A little bit on my part. Yeah, I'll admit it. I was frustrated. But hey, Super Bowl weekend. I had a place to go, things to do, roll with the punches. And I watched as the governor, who everybody expected, everybody here at the station, I don't know if I was one of them. I may have been, I might not. I can't remember that part. But everybody was pretty much just wondering when was the when the governor was going to resign, not if, when. And, you know, there was all kinds of speculation about, oh, the he's going to leave and it'll happen at 10 o'clock. No, it's going to happen at 2 o'clock. And if you remember, and I'd found out that the night before, because picture popped up that he may or may not have been in blackface or Klan robes, which I don't know which one he was. And I always find it funny. Where does one exactly get Klan robes? I'm just saying, has anybody brought up that question yet? I could go down to Premier, the costume shop right there in Carytown, which if you've never been to Premier Costume Shop, it is so much fun. Take your girl. It's a blast. There's all kinds of craziness in there. But where do you get Klan robes?
I mean, you can go online and, well, you can't order them online.
You can't go online in 1984.
Well, you just do like they did for Cartman in that episode of South Park. You just cut a bunch of holes in a bed sheet, in a white bed sheet. And then you scribble out whatever insignia goes on the chest, and then bam.
Okay, maybe. So anyway.
You're spooky ghost.
I'm spooky ghost. So last week, he apologized on Friday. Then on Saturday, he said, that's not me. I don't know. He said it was you. Then he said it wasn't you. Okay, fine. I just figure that's going to go away. And then, like, the next day, a woman accuses our lieutenant governor, Justin Fairfax, of sexual assault. And it just hits the fan again. And there's people talking. Did it happen? Did it not happen? People are screaming for resignations. You all need to get out. Nothing's been proven. Nothing proven at all. No investigations into it. Just, we think it might have, could have, possibly, there's been an accusation. We leave. Why? Leave. No proof. Then a couple days later, Mark Herring admits that he did blackface in 1980 to a party. And if I may, for those of you who are younger, you're probably asleep. Those people in my age and older, the 80s were a long time ago, wasn't it? Things were a little, this doesn't mean it was right. I'm never saying that, but it was just weird. It was different. And now, so he's saying, I did blackface too. And okay, that we you're a bad person too. And then yesterday, I'm leaving the gym. I've been talking with my buddy. What do you think should happen? He goes, well, I don't know. There's no proof of any of this. There's no proof of sexual assault. There's no proof of this, that, and the other thing. And then I climb into my truck, throw the battle wagon into gear, turn on WRVA. And a second woman has come out with other accusations against our lieutenant governor. And my thought was, what is going on in Virginia? I've been trying to wrap my head around this for the last, 12 hours. 12 hours is what I've had to get my head wrapped around this. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about home improvement. We're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about right here on News Radio WRVA 345 1140 is how you get through to the show. WRV. Welcome, everybody. How are you doing this morning? Donna, you should be sleeping. Go back to bed. No, seriously. Lay down. Go back to bed. Inside joke, folks. Yesterday. What is going on? Does anybody remember when the anniversary of the Charlottesville riot or protest or whatever you want to call it? My friend Lisa came on. Wonderful, wonderful woman. She lives in Wisconsin. Isn't it Wisconsin? Madison, Wisconsin. I believe it's Wisconsin. Hey, she's way out there, and she put up on Facebook, "Hey, Virginia peeps, what is going on in Virginia politics?" And my response was, "It's a dumpster fire with the Looney Tunes theme as a soundtrack. That's what's going on." And so I climb into my truck. I am exhausted because I'm trying to, you know, work like a younger man, and it's not working. And I find out, thanks to 1140 WRVA, that a second woman has come up and accused Justin Fairfax of sexual assault, rape. Premeditated, as she put it. Planned, as she put it. And all I could think was, what is going on? I mean, I think we're all conspiracy theorists a little bit. It's all of us have that, you know, I've watched 24 too many times and it's never what's going on the screen. It's that person over there in the corner that's doing something. And part of the whole idea, I read where someone said, one of the reasons people like conspiracy theories is it makes it feel, how's the word they put it? You don't want to feel like you could be in control. You always want to feel like somebody is in control. Someone, something is pulling strings. You don't know what it is or who it is, but you feel better knowing that something, there is a plan. And I've been trying to figure out the plan since this whole thing broke. I mean, who leaked the photo of Ralph Northam? You're telling me the man has been in public life and service for as long as he has, ran against the Republican Party, and nobody found this. Nobody knew it existed. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, boop, just pops up. I mean, if somebody knew about this during the election, we wouldn't have a Republican governor right now. That's ludicrous. Absolutely insane. So I got to wonder, why was it leaked? And who did it? And now we've got Lieutenant Governor. Now, I'll say this real quick. I don't know Lieutenant Governor. I've met a couple of governors. I haven't met this Lieutenant Governor. The only Lieutenant Governor I ever met was Hager. Nice man. And a listener of the show. Morning, LT. So I hear about this second accusation, and I know that this is going to be news. And I get home. I'm still in my workout clothes. My wife shows up about the same time I do. And it's just, you know, I'm getting ready for my day to end. And I think as a last thought, just to make sure I've got today covered. Because I think, Jordan, you'd agree with me, we got a little blindsided last weekend.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, they call it they don't call it the Friday news dump for nothing.
Well, it definitely was a dump right on our heads. So I contact my boss, Greg, and through Facebook, I'm like, "Hey, boss, just want you to know, if we're going to be covering this thing tomorrow, you know, Jordan and I got this. We can cover things here. You know, we're not exactly the B team, but you know, we got this covered." And his first response was, "Want to come in now?" My friends, this was like 10 minutes to 6. I don't have any details of the story. I don't know exactly what's going on, per se. And I just looked at my screen and I looked at my wife. And I'm the one that cooks. Remember, I make dinner. I look at her. I look back at the screen and I said, give me about 20 minutes. I have to put some pants on. And I close my computer. I look at Joanne and I said, sweetie, I've got to go. And I stand up. She's like, what? I said, I've got to go. So where are you going? I said, I got to go to the radio station. God bless her. She's like, okay. You know what it really felt like, Jordan? It felt like the bat signal went up, like Gotham is calling.
Right.
I must go.
Yeah.
The Joker's out. I think that's a better voice than Christian Bale did, by the way. And it, so we just came right here. There, one of the things I love about this job is the fact that it can just change so quick. Boom. You're doing something different. And we talked about this for 3 hours yesterday. And I've got to bring up the story today. It's part of my job. Now, I know, but, you know, Igor wrote to me. He's like, I was so surprised to hear you on air, but I don't want you talking about that stuff. He said he tried. Oh, by the way, Igor's wife. I don't know what your name is, Igor wife, but I'm sorry you don't like me. I think you're fine. But sorry, I don't entertain you. We talked about it for 3 hours. What did we come up with? I don't know. I'm so torn over this whole situation. The back, the forth, the he said, she said. I think I can start, though. I can start all of it with going back to Northam and going forward. Are we outraged for just outrage's sake? I mean, one person's accused of wearing makeup, and I'm not downplaying it. I'm not saying it wasn't insensitive. It totally was. I can say it was a different time. It was. People reacted differently. They did. I mean, you want to really see something awful? You want to see something incredibly bad? Go back and watch what was the number one TV show in the early 80s. What do you think the number one TV show was? Like 82. The Dukes of Hazzard. And that show was awful. Absolutely horrible. Couldn't do that show today. Not even a little bit. Mostly I'd like to think because we like better TV. But that was that. But one guy is accused of rape. One guy is accused of wearing face paint. Neither one has got any real proof. I mean, so Northam did say, yeah, I did it later. I didn't do it right then, but I did it later. No proof on either one. No due process. No nothing. We want you out. Get out. I don't care about your years of service. I don't care about, you know, what a good person you are. I don't care about how many people you've helped. I don't care about what good you could continue to do. I don't care about a learning moment that we could all share together. I don't care about you growing and becoming a better person than you used to be. I don't care about any of that. Get out. You did something that was offensive once. And I'm talking about Northam right now. Get out. Lieutenant Governor, we don't know if you did it. We know that people have accused you of it. We don't know anything about it. We have no proof whatsoever. Get out. I'm just trying to figure it all out. This, my friends, is The Home Show. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRVA, 345-1140 is the phone number. By the way, today at 8 o'clock, Gary Hess is going to be coming in and doing some special coverage of the situation that is our Virginia politics right now. And it's a fluid situation. People are already screaming for heads to roll. You ever do any ever reading about the French Revolution? Yeah. Heads will roll was literal. And I'm kind of glad we don't have a guillotine these days because who knows what could happen. up. So last night I came in, Jordan came in with me, and we talked with you for about 3 hours about this situation with the lieutenant governor. And, you know, I feel scattered and I sound scattered because this is such a scattered mess. I mean, you got so many different people weighing in with different points of view, and I don't want to downplay any of it, and I don't want to make some parts seem more important than others, but I've got this going on. Here's where I'm at, if you will. Sorry, not professional news guy. Professional talk show host. I'll give myself that. Ralph Northam, I don't think he's a bad guy. I really don't. Did he do something really stupid? Yes. Yes, he did. Can I say it was a different time? Yeah, I can. When this, you know, when he did what he did, I was 12 years old. I can't say I knew much about blackface at all. I was talking to my my boss Greg, who's from, you know, he's from like Detroit. Yeah, he never lived in the South, and he's like, you know, the South is a really different place. I'm like, yeah. You know, I grew up, you know, seeing some of the old South advertisings, you know, your Aunt Jemima's and stuff. Like, I saw that when I was a kid. I don't know that I paid attention to it. I don't know. You know, nobody told me that's wrong or that's right. It was just kind of there. Fortunately, it's gone away. People have, you know, realized that it's hurtful and did away with it. Someone told me that Oprah Winfrey has a huge collection of it. Huge. All original stuff. I don't know if that's true or not. Just the story I heard. So Ralph Northam is, he's all but disappeared from the world for the last week. Anybody seen him? Nope. Saw more of Puxtawny Phil than we saw of the governor this week. And then we have Justin Fairfax, our lieutenant governor, who's been accused twice now of sexual assault. The first person said started very consensually and then snowballed into something else that I didn't want. Now, I'm going to talk to those fathers out there for a minute. Mothers, too, I'd imagine, but let's talk to fathers because I think, you know, boys, men need to be told things, certain things, by their fathers. And the fact of the matter is, I was raised and I was told as a kid, no means no. At any point, any time, in any situation. The lady say, no, you stop. You back off. It was drilled into me so hard that when anybody even started to say the word, not no, when I'm done. Hands up. It's like being on Chopped. I would be like, hands up, walking away. So, first and foremost, let's remind our sons, no means no. 345-1140. Randy in Mechanicsville.
Yes, sir. Yes. Hello, Richard. I love your show. I listen all the time.
Thank you. I know today's a little different from normal, and I apologize for that.
That's quite all right. I got a problem with my kitchen faucet.
I can help.
Turn on the water, and it makes noise in the lines. And also, the water is very cloudy.
Okay. Step one, have you filled a water glass with the cloudy water?
Yes.
Have you put it on the...
And there's no sediment or anything. It just clears up.
Right. So it's bubbles is basically what you've got.
Yeah. I just changed the aerator, so I thought maybe that was it.
And it could have been. It could have been part of it. Now, when you say noise, is it making like a chattering situation?
It's just like a low hum.
Really? One handler or two?
Both. Two handles.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it does it on both sides? That's odd because usually it does it through one or the other. Does it have a spray nozzle on it?
Yes.
All right. More likely than not, you've got some trash in the diverter.
Okay.
And what's happening is as the water passes through that, that's it's getting restricted a little bit. That's causing the agitation. That's causing the air in the water. And that's what's causing your hum.
All right. Cool.
And
that's that the handle thing. So it goes right in the middle.
You take the neck straight up, and it'll be looking right at you. That's where the diverter is.
All right, cool.
All right, Randy.
Appreciate it.
No problem. Bye.
Thanks.
345-1140. Yeah, it's still a home improvement show. I think I lost my train of thought just a little bit. Nah, I'm kidding. The Justin Fairfax situation, I guess I should probably wrap it up, at least for now. I've had time to think about it. Yesterday was kind of knee-jerk reaction. I come in, we just start talking. We start talking about what we've got in front of us, and that's it. What at no point, and I'm pretty proud of the people I work with, at no point did anybody here or people that I know are on air say, okay, he needs to walk. This is horrible. He did this, blah, blah, blah. We don't know anything. We don't know any facts whatsoever. You want to irritate me in the real world other than the radio? You really want to drive me crazy? Start making assumptions. Assumptions are one thing I don't tolerate in my life. I want to know what the facts are, and nobody can know what the facts are right off the bat. 345-1140. Alyssa?
Alyssa.
I knew I was going to screw that up.
Hey, my washing machine drain is clogged.
Okay.
And I called a plumber out to fix it for me, which I haven't had it done in years. And the man wanted $250. I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Get out of my house. Like, isn't that a little bit exorbitant?
No.
I've never paid that much to have my drain cleaned.
Okay. Well, then you got off easy before. No, seriously, Alyssa, you're saying that a guy drove all the way to your house, pulled out a piece of equipment that was hugely expensive, okay, that he is...
No. He walked into my home. He looked at my washing machine, said that would be $250. I'm like, no.
Okay, then. I mean, I think I probably would have charged you about the same. Back in the day.
All right. Well, I just felt like it was a bit much because I've never paid that much before.
Well, I mean, what do you? How much have you paid in the past?
Probably like $150 at the most.
Okay. And when was that?
Several years ago.
How many? wait a minute. No. I'm not letting you off that easy. What is several?
No, it was too many. I don't know. All I know is I got enough dog hair in my house to knit shirts for many people.
Okay,
so I'm sure it's full of dog hair.
Okay, and how old's your house?
It's from the 70s.
Uh-huh. So you probably still have a galvanized pipe that's an inch and a half. It's full of your dog's hair. And this guy's just trying to make a living when everything is going more expensive than what you paid for last time?
No, he works for a big company. This is not like some solo guy. No. I mean, I could understand it if it was somebody like on their own, but this is like a big company.
You mean a big company that has even more overhead than a small guy? Uh-huh.
All right, I'm going to hang up now.
Yeah, that didn't go the way you wanted it to at all, did it, Lisa?
No, it went completely sideways, so shut up.
Oh, get off my phone. This is the home show. Richard McCann, News Radio, WRVA. 345-1140 is the phone number. George in Chester.
Hi, Richard. I'm living in an older house now. As I go back and look at the old washing machine down the basement, it was really hard to get to a lot of steps and all that kind of thing. The waistline for the water drain line goes into a fairly, looks like a robust sump pump situation, which deposits maybe 400 feet away from the house out in a grove of trees. Am I specifically required by law to reroute that or into a septic system? Or am I going to get in trouble by leaving it as is?
You know, for years and years and years and years, all the plumbing in the house would dump into the septic system except for the washing machine. It would have its own drain field, which eventually would get stopped up, and I would have to come in and reroute it into the septic. And that was mostly because old washers use like 30-some gallons of water, and people said, I don't want that, you know, going into my drain fields. I don't need the extra water.
Right.
You're just dumping onto the ground?
Well, the pipe goes out, and it just nannies up. And then that is over, and just it shuts out, and it's kind of unusual because the deer all rotate to it, so it must not be terribly bad water dumping out there. But I was hoping with a new wash machine that uses less water and a less phosphate intensive type of detergent that I could still let it dump right to there.
I mean, it's your property; you can do what you want with it. It's not like you're pumping oil out into it.
Yeah.
Let it happen. Let it go. Nobody's going to say anything that I can think of. And, with a new washer, you're putting a lot less water out there.
Yeah.
No, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, it's not exactly kosher. Don't get me wrong, but...
Oh, yeah, and I love the Chesapeake Bay as much as anybody. However, I don't see this ever getting to it. I think the deer drink it up before it gets to the nearest stream, which is still half a mile away. Anyway, I think we're good.
Yeah, I think you'll be all right.
All right, thanks very much, Richard.
Yes, sir. 345-1140. John in Goochland.
Yeah, Richard, hey, I got a question. We just put in a brand-new water heater, and we used a plumber that was recommended by the neighborhood.
Sure.
And I was watching them put him in, and it's all copper, and they use these compression fittings. Is that okay now? Is that the new thing?
Compression fittings, or did he actually compress them, or did he just click them into place?
No, he had a machine, a handheld machine.
Oh, he had a Pro Press.
Yes.
Those things are so cool.
Yeah, he said he's got to get it recalibrated every so often, but is that the new thing in plumbing now? On copper tubing?
Yeah, new if within the last 12 years you would consider new.
Oh, okay, I get you.
The thing about the Pro Press is they came out about 12, 13 years ago. Most people don't see it because the tool is redonkulously expensive. A lot of plumbers have avoided that. Plus, you've got things like shark bites that are in place. But no, I'm totally down with ProPress. I can't afford the tool, but yeah, it works great.
Yeah, the guy said he had two of them. He has to have it recalibrated every so often.
Yeah, he's got about $2,000 worth of tools.
Whoa. Okay. All right. Thanks, Richard. I appreciate it. So that's okay then, the new thing, yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally down with it. It'll be fine. Just, keep an eye on it. Where is the water heater located?
In the garage.
Okay, good. So you can see it. Yeah, there's quite a few water heaters in Goochland that are under stairs that nobody sees.
Okay, thanks, man.
Yes, sir. 345-1140 is the phone number. I'm going to finish up, and then, I promise, next hour, no more politics. None. I will be done with it, but I feel like I have to approach it. This is a home show. We turned this from a home improvement show to a home show, meaning that we could talk about anything, and I like talking about just about anything with you. Here's my situation wrapped up in a pretty little bow, if you will. As far as our governor, governor, you screwed up. You screwed up by talking about something before you really had any facts, and then you really, really, really screwed up by backtracking on something you had only said less than 24 hours ago. If you make a mistake, admit you made a mistake. And then learn from it, grow from it. and move on. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help the constituency. It doesn't help the people that you've been trying to help your whole life. And I respect you. I believe, Governor, that you've done good. You know, you served in the military. You're a surgeon. You tried to help people. This was just a dumb thing that happened, but you just made it worse, sir. You just made it worse. Because now everybody I talk to says, I don't know what to believe. As far as Justin Fairfax is concerned, sir, you've got two people making accusations. I don't know if they're true. If during the Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh's hearings, I had to give credence to the women that came forward and hear their side of the story, which we did. And I had to give them the benefit of the doubt, which I did. I have to do the same thing for you, which is what I did for Kavanaugh. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I don't know if any of this is true. And I honestly hope it's not. I really honestly hope none of this is true. I hope it's somebody with an axe to grind, somebody that's trying to cause trouble. Because that will come out. It'll come out in the end that it was total, you know, meadow muffins and exoneration all the way around. If it is true, I hope you're prosecuted. I don't feel like we can ask for resignations from anybody just based on someone said something. Because then anybody can say anything about anybody, and it doesn't matter if it's true or not. We live in a country of due process and innocent until proven guilty. He deserves to have his time. For those of you that are calling for these people to resign and move on, I've got to ask, what's your end game? Who's going to be leading? Who's going to be taking over? What is it you hope to accomplish here? Well, it's caused damage to the party. Has it? Okay, you've had a week of embarrassment. For politics, that's kind of standard procedure. If you're guilty of something, I hope you go away. But I want to hear all the facts. I'm just not, I know it sounds terrible of me. I'm not being knee-jerk. Just not going to do it. Don in Richmond.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Hey, I have a question for you. My house is probably probably 15 years old, and I have this cracking sound, like when I walk on the, you know, floor, like upstairs. And what can I do to fix it? It's like a, you know, it's almost like when they put together the house, I don't know if the board stayed out there in the cold or the weather, but now that the house is settled in, and it's a new house. So what is it I can do for the cracking noise?
Well, Don, it's not a new house. It's a 15-year-old house. Yeah, I mean, it's a newer house, but it's still not a new house. It's 15 years old. So it has settled it, you know, it's adjusted into its own little, you know, skin. It only cracks and creaks in one area?
It's like in three different areas.
I would have a flooring contractor come out and take a look, see if they can't, you know, reset some of the underlayment. Probably just didn't use enough nails when they put the underfloor down.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yes, sir. My name is Rich McCann. Phone number is 345-1140. When we get back, I'm getting ready for a very busy weekend. I don't get the rest this weekend. It's going to be all go, go, go. I have an open house I have to do tomorrow. That's always fun. But if you're thinking about selling your home, what do you do to prepare it? I'm going to complain about the big game because that was awful. I'm also going to talk about one of my friends. She's also a realtor. She was having problems with a sewer line. And honestly, when I heard what happened, you know what? Some people out there are just slack, and they can get away with it because they can get away with it. It's not illegal, but it's not exactly legal at the same time. I will explain all of that, plus a man who is suing his family because he didn't give them permission to have him. Yeah, you heard me. Suing his family because he was born. I don't get it, but that's all right. This is the Home Show News Radio, WRVA.
And here we go.
I'm in over my head.
This is the News Radio 1140 WRVA Home Show with Richard McCann. You've got questions, he's got answers. You've got problems, he's got solutions. Call 345-1140 now. That's 345-1140. Now, here to solve the questions, conundrums, and riddles about home ownership is Richard McCann.
Welcome to our number dose of the Home Show on News Radio WRVA. My name is Richard McCann, your humble home improvement guru. Let's get back on track. 345-1140. Paul in... Well, wherever you're from.
Good morning, Richard.
Morning, Paul.
Let me ask you a question. You've probably been asked this many times before. I have a 15-year-old townhome, and I've got a 50-gallon hot water heater on the second floor. I've never had any problems with it, but as a preventive maintenance thing, should I schedule just to replace it? Is it at its life expectancy in the 15-year range, or do I... You know, do I worry about a ticking bomb, so to speak?
Well, I mean, I get really weird when people say bomb and water heaters, because that was my favorite episode of Mythbusters ever. If you didn't see that episode, here's my question, Paul. It's on the second floor. Is it in a closet or is it like in an attic?
It's sort of in an attic with a pan. It does have a pan, a drip pan underneath it.
Okay, that was my next question. Does it have a drip pan underneath it? How often do you look at it? I mean, visually say, there's my water heater.
Not that often. I mean, I can make it, I can do it. It's just that, you know, time passes and you don't pay attention. You don't worry, you know. Sometimes it could be 2 months before I, you know, between times when I looked at it, or longer.
And I'm with you on that. I mean, mine's in my basement. I walk past it all the time, and I make a physical effort to look over and go, yeah, that thing's about 12 years old. I do need to keep an eye on it. If 15 years, yeah, that's getting towards the end. What I would do if you... Do you want to replace it right now? Is it doing its job? Yes. What I would do is physical inspection. Do you see any rust or green stuff around the top where the connections are? That's where I'd look. It's electric, I take it?
It is.
Okay. You want to look around those plates that are holding the thermostats and the elements in, because that's an area that you can start to see leaking. It has a pan underneath it. Hopefully that pan will do its job. There's no guarantees, because that drain line's been, you know, out there for 15 years, and I've seen more than once grasshoppers build nests in those things.
Now, let me ask you one other question. When I hear the stories about, say, modern-day appliances, modern refrigerators and things, and they say, well, stuff's not made as well today as it used to be, so if I go out and shop for a new one, is it going to be more cheaply made than maybe something that was made 15 years ago? Or do I, you know, in other words, how do I find to make sure I'm going to get one that's at least better? I don't want to get something that's cheaper with a shorter life expectancy than the one I have now.
You know,
are there some brands that are better than others, or do I just take a box store one?
Okay, well, first of all, let's back up a little bit. Things aren't as good as they used to be. Back in my day, stuff was built to last. Yeah, was it? Okay. Yeah, when I started doing this 16 years ago, my response to a water heater was, over 8 years, get rid of it. That was 16 years ago. These days, I'll say, 12, 15 years, it's still running. It's still doing its job. Things are actually built better than they were before, because we have better technology to build them. These things aren't hand-welded. They're done by a machine. So there is that. I disagree with the whole things aren't as good as they used to be. If anything, the only reason people say that is because the things are cheaper than they used to be. Do you have a flat screen television?
I do.
Okay. When did you get your first one?
Well, 10 years ago, probably.
Okay. And you paid about, what, $1,500, $2,000 for it?
Yes, sir, a lot.
Okay, now I just bought a 65-inch television. I paid less than $600 for it, and the picture is mind-blowing. Okay, better tech, easier to make, better quality. So what I'm saying is you'd probably end up with a better water heater now than you did then. Government did pass some rulings saying that water heaters had to be more efficient so that they had to add more insulation to them, blah, 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 blah. And what the water heater company said is, okay, fine, we're not going to do anything except give you a free blanket. They changed nothing. They just gave you a free blanket, which is worthless, in my opinion. So if it's leaking, change it. If you got the money to change it and you're worried that something's going to happen when you're not looking, change it. If you have no guarantee that that pan is working properly and flowing, change it. But if you're willing to make a conscious effort to take a peek at it once a week, do that until you see what's going on, until you see water.
Richard, thank you very much, sir. Have a good day.
Hey, wait, Paul, I didn't finish one last question. A.O. Smith, that's my favorite brand of water heater.
I was going to ask you that, but I didn't want to be too lengthy.
No. A.O. Smith or and State is my number two. My father will say State all the way, but A.O. Smith's my favorite.
Gotcha. Thank you very much, Richard. Have a good day.
You too, Paul. 345-1140, let's get back into what we're supposed to be doing. That is having my home show. Like I said, you know what? Things are going to break with the governor and the lieutenant governor, and it's going to keep going on and on and on. And here's my big fear on that, just to finish it up. My big fear, fatigue. We're going to get tired of hearing about it, and we're just going to say, I just don't care anymore. I just don't care. Whatever, just shut up. I don't care. And I'm not going to be one to beat you about the head and shoulders about it, so there you go. Like I said, been an interesting week. I do have to say thank you to Piedmont Smokehouse. They helped make my Super Bowl party. The party was a success. I will say that. The party was a success. I went with ribs, and he smoked some wings for me, which, Jordan, I have a whole new way of doing chicken wings.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So I only ordered a dozen, but he cooked. You know how the big pack comes, and it's like 24 wings or something?
Yeah.
He just, like, just take them, okay? Just get them out of here, because they're not really on the menu. And I got home, and it was just too many wings. It was too many smoked wings.
Right.
So I cut them in the, you know, what do you call them, a wing dinghy or a drummy or whatever you want to call it, like you would when you order wings.
Mm-hmm.
I took those, took my cast iron skillet, and got some oil.
Right.
Super, super hot. Fried the smoked wings only for a couple minutes on both sides, get them crispy, then tossed them into my buffalo sauce.
There you go.
Smoked buffalo wings.
Sounds amazing.
Greatest thing ever. But you're a sports guy.
Yes.
Well, we only have a couple. That game was an abomination, right?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if you like defense, then I guess defensive people were all over it. But the general consensus is that it was a pretty boring game to watch.
All I could think about the whole game was playing was an old Saturday Night Live skit from like the 90s. Like, I'm the kicker, I kick the ball, kick the ball, I kick the ball. That's all I saw, punters over and over and over again. When you get back, what do you do if you want to sell your house? I'll let you know on the home show. McCann News Radio, WRVA 345-1140 is how you get through to the show. Got a bunch of stuff to talk about because I'm going to have a busy weekend. This, God bless her. You know,
why are you talking about your wife so much? I don't care.
You know, I'll tell you why. Because a woman married me knowing that she works during the week and I work weekends. So social life ain't so much. And I've got a busy weekend because tomorrow I'm doing something a lot of people do not like to do. I wear a lot of hats. because I'm going bald. Now, I wear a lot of different professional hats. If someone asks me, what do you do for a living? First, I'm going to say talk show host. That, what I'm going to say is first and foremost. And my reasoning is this. Whatever pays your bills is what you do for a living. That's I've stuck by that for decades. When back in Manhattan, I'd eating lunch someplace, and I'm chatting up the waiter or waitress. I didn't say server, by the way. Sue me. And I'd eventually I'm like, how long have you been working here? And they'll be like, well, this is I do this just to pay the bills, but I'm really an actor. And my response wasn't trying to be a jerk. Never was trying to be a jerk. But my response was always, does acting pay your bills? Well, no. Okay, then you're a waiter. And when I got this gig, I did not call myself a talk show host. I called myself a plumber. Plumbing paid the bills. These days, this pays most of the bills. But of course, you can't just say, I work one day a week. What are you going to do? Spend the rest of the week just sitting down watching Netflix? I wish. So I do other things. And one of the things people do not realize, and it's so funny, I've been doing it for almost 3 years. I'm a realtor. I got my real estate license a couple years back, which was harder than I thought it would be and easier than I thought it would be at the same time. Now, before I go any farther, I'm going to say this. If you're one of those people saying, I want to get into real estate because you just make a lot of money and it doesn't seem all that hard. And I was like that when I first got into it. I was like, okay, hey, I'll just become a realtor, selling houses, big deal. No, it's a pain. Okay, it truly is a pain to get into. Ask yourself, one, do you like sales? Do you? Have you ever done it? Jordan, you ever done sales? You ever been a salesperson?
Not really.
Okay. And I don't know that. Love you, mean it. I don't know if you'd like it as a job. People that are into sales, totally different beast. They think in a way that I don't think. But you ask yourself, I want to get into real estate because I'll make so much money. One, do you like sales? Two, do you want to be available 24/7? Yeah, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Phone can ring anytime, any reason. I'm kind of used to it, having been a contractor, but it can suck. And you got to pick it up. If you don't answer that phone, you don't get paid, right? So there's that. But here's what really threw me. Is the amount of money you have to spend so that you can just be a realtor in the first place. Because it's a whole industry that's designed to keep you out, to keep you discouraged, so that not everybody's doing it. I know that sounds weird, but it's the truth. You can take the classes. That's money out of your pocket. Then you have to take the test. I test well. I'm not bragging. I just do. I don't second guess myself. I don't go back. I'm usually done pretty quick. I haven't failed a test in forever. It took me 5 times to beat the real estate test, the national and the state. And it wasn't that I didn't know what I was doing. I did. I knew the material perfectly well. But the way the test was written was straight up designed for you to fail. More in a minute. 345-1140. Joe in Powhatan.
Good morning.
Okay, I didn't expect this kind of a Joe. You're more of a facts of life Joe than like a working Joe. I got it. Okay.
Right. I'm a J-O Joe, not a J-O-E Joe.
Okay.
All right. Just to give you a little background, I tore up our shower floor about 6 months ago. So we weren't using this bathroom. I'm not calling about the floor. We were using a spare bathroom, shower, no problems. We finally got our shower fixed, and we noticed when we started taking showers in it that we had episodes of the water turning cold. Now, we have a tankless, which we've never had a problem before with any of the showers doing that. So we had the water would turn cold for a few minutes. I mean, cold, mm-hmm. and then it would go back to warm. We had a plumber come, so he turned on the sink in the bathroom and the shower, and nothing happened. They both stayed hot. So the next day,
hey, Joe, do you want me to go ahead and solve the problem?
yes, please.
Okay. When you redid the shower, did you redo the faucet?
Not the handle part, just the
shower head.
The shower head, yes.
Uh huh. Okay. And your tankless water heater set at about what, 115, 120?
Probably.
Okay. So here's what's going on. Your tankless water heater has a maximum output. That thing can produce probably 7.5 gallons a minute. It's awesome, right?
It is awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, here's the downside. It has a minimum. It has a minimum of 0.5 gallons a minute.
You
have this thing set at 120 degrees because that's how it's always been set, because you climb into the shower and you turn on the hot water and then you add cold so that you can be comfortable, right?
Right.
And you have a low flow shower head now, right?
Right, I guess so.
Okay, so here's what's happening. You're climbing into your wonderful shower. You turn on the hot water, which the water heater goes, oh, I must create 120 degrees. And then you turn on the cold water, and you're already using less water. So you're now at the point where you're using less than 0.5 gallon a minute. And the water heater says, oh, you don't need me, and turns off.
So
what you do, most people don't know this, because there's a learning curve to a tankless water heater, is you go to the tankless water heater. You know that remote that sets that you can set it at 120 degrees?
I think so.
Okay, what I want you to do is set that thing at about 107.
Okay.
And then I want you to climb in the shower, turn on just the hot water, and don't touch the cold.
Okay.
Therefore, you're calling for more than 0.5 gallon a minute, and you're going to have the longest shower you've ever had in your entire life. The reason it worked when he turned on the shower and the faucet is you're calling for more than 0.5 gallon a minute, and therefore,
right. It'll
make it all day long.
Okay.
And the reason I know that is because I had a woman at an apartment building. I installed the tankless, and she complained for weeks that she was getting a cold shower, and every time I did the same thing, turned on the shower, turned on the faucet, I'm like, lady, you're out of your mind. Then I figured it out. She was using less than 0.5 gallon a minute.
Yeah. Oh, that is great. Yeah, I couldn't figure that out. We housed 8 wedding party, all the guys, one time in our upstairs, and we never had 1 second of problems.
Well, so, I mean, I don't want to hear about 8 guys in a shower at the same time. That's just not going to work on this show. Joe, turn down the water heater and you'll be fine.
Ah, yes, I will. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
I told my husband last night, I said, you should listen to Richard McCann tomorrow and call him. And then I was up early and I heard you and I thought, well, I'll call and hopefully I can answer all the questions.
I'd rather talk to the wife anyway. Just a thing. Take care, Joe.
Thank you.
Bye. 345-1140 is the Dennis, you gotta make it quick.
Okay. Am I on?
Yes. That's why I say go, go, go.
Oh, hello, Richard.
Yes.
A few years ago, my doorknob went bad. I had one of those ones where the handle grip and the thumb piece. You know the kind that's like a handle?
Yeah, a handle.
So when I went to replace it, I couldn't afford one of those. I got a regular doorknob. It has the adjustable latch to accommodate the length to reach the strike plate.
Yeah, adjustable throw.
Only the what they call the mounting plate or rose doesn't completely cover the old hole.
Okay.
So I've been living with that, and I was wondering, what should I do? Should I call a locksmith, or do they have a more adjustable regular doorknob?
You know what? I'd call a Amerilock.
Who? What's the name of them?
Amerilock.
Oh, Amerilock. Okay.
Yeah. Good people. I've known them for years. I think I installed his water heater. And have them look at your situation. They can work it out for you.
All righty. I wish I could get you here. I have a lot of things on my house that need some more.
Well, you know what? You can always contact me. I can do a home inspection. Got to go, Dennis.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. This is the Home Show News Radio, WRVA. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook and on Twitter when we get back. What do you want to do? What do you need to do to your house? If you're going to show it, I'll let you know on the Home Show. WRVA 345-1140 is the phone number. If you have any home improvement question, queries, conundrums, riddles, tell me what's going on. It's talking about being a real estate agent, realtor, if you will. And why did I get into it? Well, I needed something to do. You get older, you can't crawl the way I used to. Can't swing the wrenches the way I used to. It's really interesting. One of the things I've learned from working out, hitting the gym. And guys my age, do it. I'll be straight up with you. It's an hour and a half, two or three times a week is what really does it. It's not that big of a deal. And the first couple of weeks sucks. Absolutely sucks. Jordan, you still hitting the gym?
Trying to, yeah.
What's your schedule? Once a week, twice a week?
Three, four.
Excellent.
Yes.
I've been doing three times a week and making sure I do cardio with weights every time. But I did realize some of the damage I've did, like my shoulders by swinging wrenches. My shoulders are not a little tender. So I got into real estate. Most people don't know I'm a realtor. And I first of all, the classes to get your license are not that big of a deal. You know, I did the fast track. It was 1 week, you know, all day for 5 days, which I don't know if it was really all that much. But for the most of you who can't do that, I almost wish that I had done the more traditional way. You know, a couple of hours a night for a couple days a week. For what, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it was. I wish I'd gone that way instead of taking the fast track. Because I feel like, did I learn stuff? Yeah. But I learned a lot more afterwards doing like extended education. The test is ridiculous. I asked one of my nieces, she's in college. It's like, when you take a test, do you find that a lot of the answers are either one, the professor's opinion, or two, it's just worded so that, you know, any of the answers really, or a couple of the answers could be right, but you just have to understand the way the person writing the question was thinking. And she's like, yes, I know that sounds weird. There's a right answer. There's a wrong answer, right? No, there's no matters of opinion these days. But I've gotten into it. I like it and I'm putting more effort into it. And so a friend of mine, my producer, Andrew, who left us 6-7 years ago. To become a police officer. His dream job was to become a cop. I still don't want to get pulled over in Caroline, but if I do, I'm hoping he's the one that does it. He and his family, his wife and two lovely daughters, decided that it was time to move on. You know, bigger, better house. We all do that at some point. Even I'm considering it. I know, shocker, right? I'm thinking about a year, moving out of Casa de McCann. I've been there for 17, almost 18 years. It might very well be time to move on soon. We haven't decided. But for my buddy Andrew, who you probably knew him back in the day when he was with Wes McElroy, and he was referred to as the captain. He decided that they want to sell their home. Fortunately, he called me. Now, real quick, when it comes to picking a real estate agent, I'm going to say go with somebody that you know and somebody you can trust. That's like anybody, right? But who do you pick? Talk to people that you know that have dealt with realtors recently. The funniest thing about the real estate business that I've learned so far is, one, there's more realtors than there is real estate. True. Now, when I say that, I mean, there's more people holding the license than there is real estate for sale. It's an absolute truth. Now, the amount of people that are active in real estate is a much, much, much smaller percentage than people that have their license. I know people that every day, all day, that's what they do. They live and breathe it. I like to stay a little bit more flexible. So I only take on, you know, 1-2 customers at a time. That's me. My boss doesn't like it, and he'd prefer if I was running 5 at a time. I probably could. So Andrew wants to sell his house, and we're going to do tomorrow, actually. I'm going to do the thing that most realtors that have been in the business for a long time hate these words, open house. People that are new to the business, the younger people, they do it because, you know, that's the way they're told. That's how they're going to meet customers. They're going to meet new people. That's how they're going to sell the house. As you get on in your career, there's less of older guys and older women. Believe it or not, a lot of women are in real estate, much more than men, as far as I can tell. Tomorrow's an open house. And I had to look and see, what do you do if you want to do an open house? Now, one, if you own the property but you're not living in it, that makes life a lot easier for, you know, for people to come in and see it because, well, look, there's nothing there. You don't know who these people are who are coming in. If it's an open house, that means your realtor is there and they are keeping an eye on these people that are wandering through your home. If it's empty, who cares, right? What's the worst that can happen? They stub a toe. Most people, though, when they're selling their home, they're still living in it. So you definitely want your realtor there to show them around because who knows who's coming through your house. I had one gentleman, he said, he put the house up for market. They put a lockbox on it. He wasn't living there, but he had a closet full of firearms, absolutely full. It was kind of cool, a little scary at the same time. Zombie apocalypse is coming, and he was ready for it. So open house, if there's nobody, if you're not living there, that makes life a lot easier for everybody, including the realtor. So that's one way. But if you are still living in it, make sure the house is clean. I'm not telling you to stage it so it looks like something out of a Hollywood set. I'm just saying, make sure it's clean. I had one couple, they wanted me to show the house. I went there, the house was clean, but it smelled funky. Why? They had a dog. It smelled like wet puppy. I proceeded to Febreze the life out of that place. Wasn't a criticism of them, but first impressions are important. So make sure the house is clean, clutter put away. Second thing I would suggest if you're going to, you know, want your house to be shown is make sure the exterior is looking good. One of the easiest things to do to a home is pressure wash it. You can rent a pressure washer from any of your big box stores. You don't need a super high pressure washer. I one time washed my mom's house. She had vinyl siding. One side faced north, so it had kind of this green algae growing on it. And she wanted to show it. I said, Mom, we got to wash this off. I borrowed like the smallest pressure washer I'd ever seen. It didn't even have a gasoline motor in it. You plugged it into a receptacle. It doesn't take a lot of pressure to pressure wash the exterior of a home. Now, if you don't want to do it because it is time consuming and you don't want to rent the material, I mean the equipment, Don't worry about it. There are plenty of people out there that pressure wash homes, and it's cheap. I mean, if someone comes up and says, I'll pressure wash the whole house for $200, do it! You're going to make my whole house spotless for $250, $200? Please, proceed, sir. I don't want to be covered in water right now anyway. The other thing I'll say is pick up the yard. That's the big one. Believe it or not, it's like when you eat with your eyes. People buy with their eyes, and when they come up and they see a yard full of toys, maybe there's a pile of trash on the side of the yard, or just leaves and sticks that it's nature, but it could look better. I would say spend some time in the yard. Get that curb appeal up. You'll find that that gets a lot more people in through the door. And that's where you start. I mean, it all comes down to looking presentable, smelling nice, and then having somebody that can really sell your home. Do they know what they're doing? Do they know your house?
Yeah, that's can you hear me?
I've seen a lot of realtors go to sell a home, and someone will say, what year was this built? And they'll go, 83? I think. Yeah, 79. Try again. My name is Richard McCann. The phone number is 345-1140. That's how you get through to the Home Show. News Radio WRVA. That's 1140 AM, 96.1 FM. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. My name is Richard McCann. Richard McCann, News Radio. WRVA, that's 1140 AM, 96.1 FM. And I believe that Mr. John Reed is on the phone. John, are you there, sir?
Hey there, Richard. How are you?
Yeah, you sound a little a hoarse there, my friend.
Well, let me tell you, the cold has gotten to me here in Quebec, Canada, where I've been for the last 2 days. I don't know if you heard us yesterday morning. I had just gotten out of spending the night in the Hotel de Glace, the ice hotel. And I don't think that's what got me. I think it was the airplane ride out here, to be honest with you. But I kept thinking of you as I was in this hotel because it's made completely of ice. And I thought, you know who would find this interesting, besides just the tourist trap aspect of it, is Richard, with all of your interest in how to build things and make sure that things are stable and solid. I mean, it is a colossal undertaking, and if for no other reason than just your engineering and handyman skills, it would really be amazing to see for you, I think.
I am fascinated by alternative building styles. I've seen some of the, not up close and personal, but I've seen some structures that were built out of ice and how they are basically welded together and frozen together, so the structure itself is really solid. But what I've always wondered is, can you, like, see all the wiring and the plumbing and through the ice, or do they have it hidden through walls? That's always thrown me a little bit.
Yeah, it's all hidden in the walls. Apparently, there's almost 6 miles of wiring inside. So, you know, obviously, these days they've gone to LED lighting so that it doesn't heat up and melt the place. But when they tear it down, that's what they're left with. Instead of a skeleton, which is what I thought. I thought maybe they built this thing around a steel scaffold.
Right.
But no, the whole thing is done with a shell that is placed up underneath the ice. The ice is put on top and frozen, and then they ski the mold, the shell, out from underneath it, and then you have these 20-foot ceilings that just stand on their own, and it's solid ice. And as a part of the process of putting all that together, they run the cables through. It's really interesting.
Now, I got to say this, John. I hate being cold. I absolutely despise it. You're walking around a hotel in, like, a parka, right? Hello? Ground control to John Reed.
I think it ducked out for a second.
Sorry. Okay, I hate the cold. Are you walking around a hotel in a parka?
Well, I am practically in a parka today because I can't afford to lose my voice next week.
Oh, sorry. I've got something here that I have a little secret weapon for losing your voice for radio talk show hosts. Because I'm just going through the memories on my Facebook page. This time last year, I completely lost my voice, and I found this stuff called Throat Blaster.
throat blaster.
I picked
that
it up.
Seems very sketchy.
It's terrifying. It comes from Elwood Thompson, and like the first ingredient is horseradish, and Tabasco, and all the. You take like you squirt it down your throat, and then you scream, and then you can talk for a good 20 minutes. So I'll make sure you have some when you get back. But no, seriously, do they heat this place, or does it have to stay frozen? Because an igloo is warm inside.
Yeah, it is not heated. You get into the room, and it's pretty doggone cold, especially at night. I mean, it was 6 degrees Fahrenheit the night that I was in there. But you get in, and of course, a little bit of body heat heats it up. But you're in these really amazing sleeping bags, and I was very toasty. I felt great. And it's so quiet and silent that it was the best night's sleep I've had in a long time. Yeah. I got to be honest with you.
I saw your post on Facebook. By the way, people, if you don't follow John Reed on Facebook, you're missing out on just a fascinating life. Now, there's more to just, you didn't go up there just to see a big, shiny hotel. There's more going on in Quebec than just that, right?
Yeah, this weekend is the first weekend of their Winter Carnival, which has been around in one form or another since 1849, which is kind of interesting. And it's in 1955 is when it started annually. And they have, you know what, you've seen this snowman thing. It's called Bonhomme. I'm sure you've seen it. It's almost, they'll get mad at me for saying this probably. It's like the Michelin tire man, except a snowman and kind of happy and stuff. Well, as soon as I walked in the airport and there he was, this huge 7-foot statue of him, I realized I've seen this guy before. And it just popped up. Social media, or any magazine, travel magazines and stuff. This festival, carnival, has been around since 1955, and it is really exceptional. They have fireworks shows at night, and tonight, Saturday night, is this huge night parade, which I'm very curious to see. Now, is it like Disney World? I have no idea, so...
because you've never been to Disney World, or you just haven't been to this event?
I have sat through more than my share of parades at Disney World. I have never been to Quebec, Canada, so I'm very curious to see what this will look like.
Now, I've got to ask, is everybody like the super nicest people you've ever met in the whole world?
Oh, my gosh. Let me tell you something. Everybody here stops and says hello. You know, when I do that when I'm in New York or Washington, they look at me like I'm about to rob them. Everybody's crazy nice, and Alonzo is up here with me, and we were on the way to the ICE hotel with a public relations lady who was super nice herself, but you would expect the PR person to be nice. And they have these racks where all the kids and the adults who were going to go snow sledding leave their stuff. There's not a lock on them, there's not a door on them, there's no guard watching it. People just leave their bags and their shoes and their stuff on these big racks. I mean, hundreds of probably purses with valuable stuff in there. And so as we walked by, I said to the Canadian lady who was showing us around, I said, oh, you can tell you're in Canada because you wouldn't leave this stuff out even in the nicest town in the USA.
No. I'm thinking I need to go to Canada and start a life of crime.
Okay. Well, that was not the point of the message, Richard, but yes, yes. You've now been blocked by the immigration and naturalization people.
Actually, they've got some pretty strict rules about immigrating to Canada, so I'm sure I have been blocked.
Well, it's true, and you know, not to be snarky about it, but as I was wading through immigration and they were grilling me with questions and double-checking my passport, I was thinking, okay, these people aren't pushovers. You know, they're not just letting me waltz on through. Hi. You know, how are you? They wanted to know what was in the bags. A few more questions than actually they ask when I come back to the U.S.
Now, a couple of questions because you're running short on voice and I'm running short on time. One, can you bring back some tin bits because I've always wanted to try them?
Tin bits? What's tin bits?
Tim Hortons. You know, the
oh, that's right.
The donuts. Yeah, sure. The donuts. Tin bits.
These would be authentic. You know, isn't there a Tim Hortons over on Broad Street?
I don't know, but I want Canadian Tim Hortons.
You want the real thing.
Absolutely.
All right, I'm happy to look.
All right. Two, Canada legalized marijuana. Are people just walking around stoned?
I have not seen that. And, you know, one of the questions that we had to ask when we were going through customs was, are you bringing any cannabis products in? Which I thought was weird.
Your response was, no, you guys have it all. It's...
I guess.
I know.
Alonzo's writing me a note. They sold out of stock. Are you serious? What do you mean they sold out? I'm asking Alonzo. They ran out of cannabis.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well,
I missed that whole conversation.
So much for the winter festival being fun.
I have a childlike experience at this. Apparently everybody else is in a different realm. But it really is exciting. And today, I'll tell you what I'm looking at. I'm, even as lousy as I sound right now, I feel pretty good, and I'm looking at the Chateau Frontenac, you know, the big castle-looking thing.
Sure.
That's on all the postcards of Quebec. So I'm in this fantastic hotel called Hotel 71, which is apparently where all the rock bands stay when they come through town. Not the low end, but the high end, like, you know, The Who and the famous people.
John, I got 60 seconds, and I want you to know, because you're on vacation, Jordan and I, this is how desperate Greg was. He called Jordan and I to cover what should have been you last night.
You did a great job last night. What a mess this is.
Right. What's your feelings on the LT and this second time? I mean, I've been saying guilty until proven innocent. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this woman, she's making some pretty horrible accusations. What's your thoughts?
Well, she's making accusations, and I think they should be taken seriously, and I think we should figure out who's going to investigate it, and if she really wants to file a police report, then she should do that. But I think the public, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat that we're talking about, should pause and be sober and thoughtful and evaluate these accusations, and preferably it goes to a court of law. I don't think we should make political decisions based on accusations.
I think you and I are on the same page. John, I hope your voice comes back. Have fun up at Canada, and I'll talk to you a little bit later today.
Hey, thanks, Richard. I really appreciate it.
John Reed, everybody. 345-1140. It's been a good show. I've enjoyed it. Now, look, Mr. Gary Hess is coming in here at 8 o'clock. He is going to continue 1140 WRVA's coverage of the current situation with our lieutenant governor, and attorney general, all of which is just one of the biggest messes I've seen politically, probably in my career. I mean, you know, I did not have sex with that woman. Yeah, you did, but it was consensual. This is a whole different thing. And of course, I will be back at 10 o'clock hosting the home show, our later edition. And if the conversation continues in that direction, we'll continue it. But until then, who knows? I agree with John and Jeff Katz. We don't know what's going on. We don't know exactly what the facts are, but we cannot make judgments based on allegations and rumor and feelings. I recently saw a video where a woman screamed and said, "Feelings are more important than facts." Well, a buddy of mine said this: facts can change feelings. So let's know what the facts are and then make our judgments. That's a home show in the can, burned to a disc, put neatly in a shoebox underneath my mama's bed. I want to thank Jordan for getting up early and pushing all the right buttons. I want to thank Dennis for keeping his finger right on the pulse of the news. Everybody that called in, thanks so much. Hey, it's going to be a chilly weekend, but that's okay. Spring is right around the corner. I'll see you at 10 o'clock. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. Download the podcast, the show. My name is Richard McCann. See you in a bit.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.